WWIB on a Monday morning. October Connect Month is underway, and we hope you'll connect with us. Our Partner Pledge Day on Wednesday from 6A to 6P here on WWIB. Best 5 minutes of the day, Dawson Halverson sitting in as well. Good morning.
Good morning. And alongside us,
Jason Kanz is at his home in Eau Claire. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lots to share from over the weekend. You were at Anastasia at the Pablo on Saturday night. How was it?
Yeah, beautiful show. Love musicals. The costuming was astounding. It was just stunning. And the music was wonderful. It was really good to get out and see a musical again. I sometimes wish I could afford to go to musicals every weekend, but it was really amazing.
That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then yesterday at the Quaker service in Eau Claire.
Yeah. So I've gone there a few times and find that I have really enjoyed connecting there. And they had asked me to share at the, they do what's called a pre-worship enrichment, which is just a short little reading or something that somebody is stirred by. And you know, we had talked a little bit, Mark Helfsmeet and I had talked a little bit about Letters to the Beloved and decided to share Romans 12 from Letters to the Beloved there and got some good feedback on that. And it was just a good time again to be with those folks and also to be able to share from Letters to the Beloved, which I'm always happy to do. So,
well, I think we're in Romans 6 now sharing, and maybe when we get through with Romans 8, we'll have to get into Romans 12 too. So, all right.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, enjoyed having breakfast on Saturday, though I got to say, you know, it's kind of, we come to the microphone in Christian radio, and it's so easy to just kind of show, our strength. And I just want to, lead with a limp and say, I don't know, something I'm really struggling with these days is taking things too personally. I think that I saw that even at the breakfast table with you on Saturday some, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's making like I can't ignore this. So I don't know the way out of that, but I mean, I resonate. I remember hearing Larry Crabb in Appleton in 94, and he stood in front of thousands of people and he said, "I'm a mess and so are you." And Stephen Curtis Chapman in one of his new songs talk about still being a mess. And we can be saved and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but still be a mess. Don't you agree, Jason?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I would add to that, you know, you and I are, you know, we're sharing that we are very, very good friends. And and yet there was some conflict around the table on Saturday morning. And, you know, you, as you just said, will take things personally. My tendency is to withdraw when conflict shows up. And I noticed some of that on Saturday morning as well, where I was like, you know what, let's just step away from this. And
so that's interesting, the dance there, because mine is probably more like somebody else close to you, where I'll kind of, I'll actually speak up and it'll escalate. Right. And so I'll directly confront, right? So it's like fight, flight, freeze, or flee, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, flee is like flight, so.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's, but again, I think the reaffirmation, and we've both done that since of our love for one another and our friendship. And you know, I don't expect us to agree on everything,
but it's
you know, kind of
respecting that. Well, it's respecting that. I think it's like, I think for me, we can say, I mean, when you get into politics, well, the things they talk about, not to, you know, don't imply company, don't talk about politics and religion. But whatever, I mean, you kind of, even at the breakfast table, we'll kind of brave it. But if somebody has a different political opinion, like, it's okay, you know? And for whatever reason, I reached a point where, like, well, I'm gonna push back. And
Yes.
There we go.
So thank you for naming that. Again, I think a lot of times we don't, right? I mean, in our relationships, we don't name those challenges or difficulties. And it's good for us to do so and to understand that it doesn't mean the world is ending. And so,
we're needy and broken and messy. And so we need God. We need him in prayer and we need others, you know, so we're dependent.
Indeed. Yes.
All right. Let's tell you what. We'll go back to Romans 6 tomorrow, verses 20 and 21. We'll talk to you then.
Sure.
All right.
Sounds good.
Here we go. Being honest on the radio, WWIB. What do you think, Doss?
I think it sounds good to me.
All right. Drew Fralick on the line from Michigan, the pastor, the stand-up comic, and apparently also the bus driver taking the kids to school. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning. How are you, Mark?
We're doing good. My son Dawson's co-hosting with me.
Good morning.
Oh, hey, good morning.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you. Yeah, great. We got all our kids here. This is awesome.
So,
perfect.
You and your wife met in China. You're both Americans. You lived in China like 12 years, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So imagine, I'm trying to remember if we had shared your first date story in the past or not.
Sorry, I didn't catch that, Mark. You cut out.
Said, I'm trying to remember if we've shared your first date story on the air or not in the past.
No, you haven't heard it yet. So Laurie and I met in, you may have heard of this town, and we were there teaching English.
You met where?
Wuhan, China.
In Wuhan. I mean, the place of the...
Yeah.
The famous virus, yes.
We were infected by love
before
the virus.
Wonderful, wonderful song, I'm sure.
Yes, that'd be a great pop song, Infected by Love.
Mm.
So anyways, our first date, you know, China is a very difficult place to go on a date for an American because everything's so culturally different. We went to this... restaurant in a hotel lobby called the Nine Dragons Hotel.
Okay.
And, it's like the nicest hotel in town, but it was like still kind of a dump, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we show up to this hotel and it's dinner time, but this place is like so swanky. Apparently nobody ever goes to it, which again, it's not that swanky.
Okay.
And so we walk into this restaurant. It's this fancy place. All the lights are turned off. And the waiters are all sleeping on the table when we show up.
Wow.
They're just passed out taking a nap. It's like 6 o'clock in the evening.
Wow.
So we were like, hello. Like, we didn't speak much Chinese at this point. So we're like, hello, you know. And they look up, and the look of shock and like terror on these waiters' faces, because there was like five foreigners in the whole town. And they're just like, am I still sleeping? There's like a white couple in front of us.
Yeah, right.
So we kind of explained to them in our like jumbled Chinese, you know, we're on a date. We want to eat dinner. So they turn all the lights on. They like, you know, they get on the phone. They like call the cook, the chef, who's apparently not even there. He comes in.
Who's not even there.
Like, they were like stunned, you know. So then... They're like, what do you want? You're American. You want some Western food? We're like, yeah, we want some Western food. So they cooked us a hot, what was it? Like a ham and cheese hot pocket.
Oh,
that
no.
was like a freezer. It was like a freezer hot pocket and some French fries.
Oh.
And they cooked those up. And that was our first date. We were drinking red wine, eating ham and cheese hot pockets in a dingy five-star hotel in Wuhan.
Wow.
Very romantic.
If you can survive that, you can survive anything, I guess.
That's right.
So bizarre. Did you get an explanation of them sleeping on the tables?
So they never got any business.
Oh.
You know, people stayed in the hotel, but nobody ever came to the restaurant, but they were sort of like, oh, we need to, like, keep up appearances. And so they had these waiters. I mean, these guys were dressed in, like, tuxedos. It was very fancy. They had white gloves and everything.
Wow.
But they're just like, you know, we haven't had a visitor. You know, they're like scientists at the North Pole. We haven't had a visitor in 5 years, you know, and they're just shocked to see us.
That is insane.
Drew, I have typed in the word infected. None of our songs have the word infected in the title, but how about Toby Mac, Made to Love? We've got that in honor of you and your wife coming
Perfect.
Up, okay? There we go. It's the Whip Wake Up Show. Drew Fralick here on a Monday morning from Michigan. His first date story, what's yours, or a joke?
Stop trying to amuse yourself and start thinking about what makes actual human beings laugh.
That's what's on our minds this morning. It is a Make Us Laugh Monday.
There we go, WWIB, and... We're missing Caleb here this morning, but we'll do our best as we look to fill in. All right, so I got three. I challenge you to a joke off, Dawson. You want to go first or second?
Hey, you challenged me. That means you got to go first. That's the joke off
all
rules.
Right. I'm going to set the set it high here right away.
Oh, boy.
The teacher said, can you use the word gruesome in a sentence? And Johnny said, yes, ma'am. I used to be shorter than I grew some. Come on,
man. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's pretty solid. All right. All right, joke off. Got to break out my best material. My landlord yelled at me today because my heating bill is insanely high and he's going to have to come over and discuss a solution. I told him, fine. My door is always open.
I like it. I like it. That is good. All right. All right. You're raising the bar. Let's see. You know, 100 years ago, everyone owned a horse and only the rich had cars. Today, everyone has a car and only the rich have horses.
Wait, there's
another line. Oh, how the stables have turned.
Oh. Yes. Sorry, I don't know who that was. He just sort of laughed prematurely.
I know.
He was into it. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, how the stables have turned. That's solid. Now I'm sorry to sabotage you. That's my bad.
That's all right.
What's the difference between a cat and a comma?
What?
A cat has claws at the end of its paws. A comma is a pause at the end of a clause.
Wow, I love grammar humor.
Yeah.
My last one. You know, Dawson, I mean, I don't have a train of thought. You know that. What I have is 7 trains on 4 tracks that narrowly avoid each other when their paths cross and other conductors are screaming.
Nice.
Man.
And to wrap things up, my last joke, why can't you explain puns to kleptomaniacs?
Why?
They always take things literally.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Thank you very much. It's been yet another Make Us Laugh Monday. Let us know if you've got some jokes. We've got some in this morning. We're always open to some more.
First date stories as well between now and 9, 3, 9, 6, 16, 70. We've got Keith to get to. I want to re-air Mary's. Mm-hmm. Also, a special happy birthday to Caleb's wife, Lindsay, celebrating in Chippewa Falls today. A wonderful, supporting, loving wife to Caleb and mom to their children, expecting their 4th in December. Pray for her with that, and certainly wishing her the best today.
Happy birthday!
All right, Nathan Anderson in studio with us from Eau Claire. He has previously been known as the author of Jack and the Scarlet Thread, but his latest is Jack and the Impossible Son. Welcome and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to finally have that thing published. It's been a long time.
A little bit of a gap. So give us kind of the background of this, because we go back to the first book, Genesis, right?
Yeah, well, Jack and the Scarlet Thread is really a walk through Genesis 1 through 9. There's a 12-year-old boy named Jack who his grandmother Josie died in his arms, and there's no way to bring her back. Mm. But he finds an old book that belonged to her, and he's whirled back to the beginning of time where there are 2 trees on a hill standing next to each other, one that brings life and the other that brings death. And unfortunately, somebody ate the fruit from the tree that brings death and has unleashed a storm of evil across the entire earth. And so Jack's mission is to destroy death, get rid of evil, and bring back paradise.
Hmm. Wonderful.
And you got a lot of positive feedback on that, I know, locally and beyond, even when you did that book.
Yes. Yeah, that is true. The most popular question I've gotten over the years is, when's the next book coming out?
And now the answer, you've got an answer.
I have an answer. Yes, I do. The next book is out. It's called Jack and the Impossible Son, and it covers Genesis 10 through 50.
So the obvious question, and Dustin, I want you to ask too, but I mean, the obvious question is, one thick book on 9 chapters and another book on 41 chapters.
Well, yes, this is true. And is your question,
how do you do that? I mean, it's all that you did on the 9 chapters.
There's a lot there. Holy cow. And right. to make this, I mean, my goal is to make it through the entire Bible.
Okay.
Wow.
And there's just so much there with the way that God has worked through various people in order to bring the story of redemption to fruition through Christ. And it all starts in Genesis. And so I had to do a lot of work to lay a foundation in order to get through the entire series. Because if you don't understand Genesis, the rest of Scripture doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can read the Gospels and understand the story of what Jesus has done for us. But if you don't look at it through the lens of the Old Testament, things don't line up. Mm-hmm. And there's so much richness there of how God has worked throughout time in order to bring about redemption for us. So that's why it starts in Genesis.
Yeah, the context of that book's so important, and bringing it to life
in a way that might be easier to parse for readers and entertaining as well. From the author's side, you talked a little bit before we were on the air about re-releasing the original book as well.
Yes, I did. I didn't have access to the artist who did the cover work, and I always wanted to update it a little bit anyway. And so I found actually a guy in Sri Lanka through Fiverr. And then there's a young lady here in Eau Claire, Jewel Sock, who did the artwork for the Jack character and the Scarlet Thread. And so I was able to put all that together and end up with the covers that match now from book one to book two.
Nice.
And I really love them. They look great. They both did a great job.
So in terms of the writing of Jack and the Scarlet Thread, and when did that come out? And now there's been this gap here with Jack and the Impossible Son.
Yes, there has. Well, Dawson and I were just talking. I got the idea was planted as a seed back in 1999, my first year in seminary. And it originally was going to be like a Where's Waldo kind of book. But and so I began cataloging thousands of scriptures, what these pictures might look like that Jack could be going through. And an artist or an author friend suggested, why don't you begin writing some little blurbs about this character, Jack? So I did, and then realized, huh, I guess I'm writing a book. And I got to the end of the first one, and I didn't like it. It was Genesis through Deuteronomy, and I never published that, thankfully. And I took a lot of training on how to become a better writer, and then I wrote what I ended up being Jack and the Scarlet Thread, published it in 2011. I was then diagnosed with a very bad cancer, and frankly, I wasn't sure I was going to live. And there were some other things that were happening in my life in that period of time, too. And finally, I mean, I'm doing very well with my health and was able to get back to writing. And here we have it, Jack and the Impossible Son, finally done.
Yeah, how's it feel?
It feels a tremendous sense of relief. It's been kind of a weight hanging over my head for a while. And it's been really fun. I mean, it's so rich to dig into scripture in that way. And when you teach something, you always know it more than you did when you just learned it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to grab all those really stories from scripture and weave another story through it in order to be able to tell the story of scripture in a way it's never been told before.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very, very satisfying.
I remember being at one particular memorable event. Your family was there. It was at Jacob's Well Church on a Friday night. Maybe it was part fundraiser. I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say you stared death in the face, but pretty much, right?
Yes.
I mean, so
yeah, that is true.
To have even, I mean, that's quite a story in its own right. And
well,
so that's,
yes. And I find it very interesting because I work at a hospital as a chaplain, and I've been doing that for about 10 years. So I work with people who are sick and dying a lot. Mm. My own story, it also revolves around, like you say, staring death in the face. And what I write about is all about really death and resurrection. Uh-huh. Is it really true that the dead can come back to life?
Yeah.
And if it is, what does that mean? And what is the story behind all that?
Huh.
And
you've got an event coming up at Valley Brook Church, I know, for the book. Tell us about that.
Yep, October 16th. It's a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. It's a book release for Jack and the Impossible Son, but a re-release for Jack and the Scarlet Thread. I wrote a song for Jack and the Impossible Son. Actually, that song's about 20 years old, too. I just finished that.
What's it called?
It's called The Blessing.
Okay.
And so I just finished writing it about a month ago. So that'll be fun to sing.
Uh-huh.
And actually, one of the persons who read Jack and the Scarlet Thread initially, she was 15 at the time, and a friend of mine out in California, his daughter. And since then, she has become a young woman and gone to school. She wants to be an editor. And so she actually edited Jack and the Impossible Son for me. Her name is Keziah Olson, and I'm hoping she'll be able to be there via Facebook Live.
Again, 16th? October 16th, what time?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yes.
And again, the targeted demo that you have in mind for this book?
Well, I'm always keeping 6th through 8th grade boys in mind when I write these stories and hoping that I hit, a little above, a little beyond. And I found with the first book, I hit quite a few people. A lot of people enjoyed it.
And if people want to order it, they can
go to Amazon and look up Jack and the Scarlet Thread. And Jack is spelled J-A-K. Jack and the Scarlet Thread, and Jack and the Impossible Son.
Fantastic. Nathan, congratulations. Yeah.
They can also go to my website, nathanjanderson.com, to look up more information.
Thanks. So I sent you a list of some, and I didn't see it.
But no.
I mean, basically, there's a variety of you think about pumpkin spice is kind of a drink at
coffee shop of sorts.
Yeah, drive-through coffee shop. Yeah. But there are a variety of other pumpkin spice items. So you're going to name these, and I'm going to tell you, what, if I'm interested?
Absolutely. So this is sort of a machination of my design. You sent me this list, and it's sort of, you know, pumpkin spice has grown in popularity to the point where there is flavors of all different types of things. I've seen this list. I'm going to give them to you. Starting off, what's your favorite food ever off the top of your head?
I mean pizza.
Okay. Your favorite pizza ever, that's a 10. 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Sounds great. And a one, your least favorite food. I know you're not partial to Brussels sprouts.
Well, if I had to say favorite, I mean, okay, let's go filet mignon or my mom,
the Brussels sprouts.
The flank steaks.
You rank them between a one and a 10.
Okay.
Just off the bat by how good they sound.
Okay.
Kicking things off, pumpkin spice almonds.
Maybe about a five.
A five? Middle of the road. Good place to start.
Again, I think my starting points on anything pumpkin spice is it just feels so heavily marketed that it almost pushes me away. But
think of the flavor.
I know the people who really like it. Okay, go ahead.
Pumpkin pie spice Pringles.
Pumpkin pie spice Pringles. The word pumpkin pie gets me more than just pumpkin spice. Okay. So, I mean, that's a weird combination, but a 7 to 8.
7 to 8 for the pumpkin flavored
potato chips. Just because the pumpkin pie part.
Pumpkin pie does bring it home more.
Not that I want that in potato chips necessarily, but okay.
Brack's pumpkin spice candy corn.
Sure. I'm not bad on candy corn. Sure. I can go 6 to 7.
6 to 7, not bad. Pumpkin spice hummus.
Hummus is good for you and it tastes good. The pumpkin spice part, 6 to 7.
Okay. Pumpkin spice latte burger.
Burger?
Burger.
That sounds weird. Maybe a 5.
Maybe a 5. Haven't gotten below a 5 yet. Twinkies pumpkin spice.
That sounds okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes 7.
7, okay. Peeps pumpkin spice latte?
Peeps. Yeah, that's a whole nother, maybe about a 6.
Okay. We're bringing it close to home here.
Okay.
This is outside of food, but still pumpkin flavored. Breath Palette pumpkin pudding toothpaste.
Boy, that's pretty weird. About a 4.
A 4, okay. and finally, pumpkin spice soap on a rope.
No, thank you. That's the lowest number yet, a 3.
A 3. Still above Brussels sprouts.
Yes, yeah. Let us know what you would like pumpkin spice or what you love about pumpkin spice. You know, I think a great question for the fall is what's the real flavor of the fall? Is it pumpkin spice or apple?
Okay, yeah.
I'd like to put those two against each other.
That's a competition.
Yeah, there you go.